I mean, how hard is it to get your shit together and start a podcast here?
You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony?
Hey everybody, welcome to another one of these. I'm Pete. I like, you know, you get to be, I don't know, what are we, like 400? Almost to episode 400, and I'm introducing myself. Like, who the fuck is picking, what kind of animal is picking this up at this point? Is like, you know what, I think now's the time to get into it. No, you're wrong. Now is not the time. It's too late. If this is your first episode, just stop listening now because it's too late. I turn you away. Stop listening to the show, but do donate to our Patreon. Patreon.com/helpfulsnowman. Is that a thing? Is that how Patreon works? Can you just go to like Patreon? Let's see. I'm going to look. .com/helpfulsnowman. Is that how this works? Fucking sure enough. Huh, who would have thought? I know a lot of you cheapskates out there aren't donating $2 a month, for God's sake. But whatever, you know, if you're like, this isn't worth $2 a month, I question whether you think this is worth anything. If this isn't worth $2 a month, it's not really worth listening to. It's not worth your time either. Just saying. I don't know, unless you're some broke-ass fool living on the streets, then I'm like, keep your $2. Otherwise, I'm like, how about you don't keep your $2? Well, we got a lot to talk about today. Enough screwing around. Okay? Quit telling me to fuck around and let's get started. Now, there's so many things I wanted to talk about. So I wanted to talk about this thing I got sent. Now I have to find it. Are you familiar with Money Diaries? I had never heard of this before, but Poonmaster Flex sent this to me because I guess Money Diaries is this thing this website does where it's, well, here, I think it's got an explanation. Welcome to Money Diaries, where we're tackling what might be the last taboo facing modern working women, money. We're asking millennials how they spend their hard-earned money during a seven-day period, and we're tracking every last dollar. Okay, so I guess this is a thing. And it's like, you're supposed to keep track of your spending, and then every day you kind of say, like, here's what I spent, and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of these make sense to me, because, I mean, okay, like, a week in Albuquerque, New Mexico on $64,279. So that's probably a higher than average salary, but not, it's not a crazy salary, right? A week in New Haven, Connecticut on a $63,000 salary. So it's like, this is someone who's doing well, but not crazy. A week in Berkeley on an $80,000 salary. So that's probably like not insane for that area, I would think. Or like Washington, D.C. on a $78,000. I mean, these all seem to be fairly high. Let's see. Okay, a week in Los Angeles on a $41,000 salary. That's probably a tougher one. You know, here's like a week in New York City on a joint $400,000 income. And I was sent this and I didn't really understand this because, okay, here's another one. A week in Minneapolis on a joint $101,000 income. So you're like, okay, so that's averages out to two people making 50K, which is not a crazy amount, right? That's not an unbelievable amount. A week in Baltimore on a $36,000 salary. A week in Boston on a $41,000. These make sense to me. I'm not really sure. There's a bunch in here, too, though, that's like, you know, a week in San Diego on a $125,000 salary. Or a week in Houston on a $117,000 salary. Like, A week in New York on a joint $400,000 income. I don't really understand the point of this because it's like, why? What's the use of that? What's the utility of that? Is that of any use to anyone other than to be like, what the fuck? Like, why? What is this? But this is one that Poon Master Flex sent me because, you know, okay, let's look at just real quick, like, there's a pop-up ad on this stupid website for Party Perfect Style from H&M. This person's a 22-year-old writer's PA on a TV show, salary about $41,000. So, you know, you're like, okay, like, how does this person make it? What happens? And so anyway, then they talk about like, okay, here's my monthly expenses, $975 a month for rent, credit card payment $50, Netflix zero, I use my mom's account, phone is $100, Pilates pass $75, insurance $50, utilities $68, so on, right? So then it goes through and it's like the end of the, it talks about the day and it's like, how much did you spend today? And you know, day one is like $16 or day three is like $20, you know, then this day is $104.64. So you got to get gas that day, you know, drinks and dinner all adds up, right? But then the next day is zero. Anyway, point being, oh, laser hair removal for $200. Anyway, so this is, I mean, this to me kind of makes sense because it's like, okay, I get it. But then the one that Poon Master Flex sent me was a person who is, let's see, making $25,000 a month. Okay. So this is, someone who makes $604,000 per year. And then, you know, we updated the headline and income info to more accurately take it home. So the income can be between $300,000 and $400,000. But, you know, over $600,000 in revenue so far this year, whenever this was. Point being, you know, okay, a monthly paycheck is $25,000 to $30,000 for this person. So it's crazy, right? Now, what fucking use? I mean, why would you... This is just like lifestyles of the rich and famous at this point, right? Like, what am I going to learn from this? Okay, let's look at some facts. Monthly expenses, $1,207. I live with two roommates. First of all, that's crazy. Student loan payment. My parents generously covered my undergrad education. Wow, how nice of them. What a surprise that someone who has money has more money. Wi-Fi and utility is $175 for my half. Netflix, $8. Building amenities fee, $52. Cell phone, $70. Savings, I try to put as much away as I can at the end of each month in a high-yield savings account, usually around $20,000. Okay. So, do we want to know? I mean, do we care? Should we try it? All right, day one, 11 a.m. It is a beautiful Sunday outside, so my boyfriend, R, and I decide to go picnic in the laziest way possible without actually cooking or sitting in the sun. We grab picnic snacks, he pays, and we sit on a bench in the shade eating peanut butter pretzels, chips, and guac, and dried mangoes. A guy is trying to convince dog walkers to try his weird coffee yogurt drink. R doesn't let me try the drink because he says they're not FDA approved. I write down the coffee yogurt brand on my list of new businesses. I like to keep a running list of new businesses that I see on social media, TV, subway ads, etc., and study their business models. After our eventful morning, we walk home and take a nap. 3 p.m., R has a haircut at 2 p.m., and I spin around on the comfy chairs in the salon as I wait. I contemplate getting a coffee from the Starbucks next door, but I'm too lazy to walk the 20 feet. After he's done, we walk over to a local pizzeria. He's feeling pretty good about his fresh cut, so obviously we slow down whenever we walk past a reflective surface. We order one classic margarita, one eggplant parm, and a Diet Coke for me. The food takes forever to come out, and it's all very mediocre. The Diet Coke tastes like Pepsi, but I slurp it up anyway. We split the bill and stroll home, stopping for delicious salted caramel ice cream on the way. R pays for the ice cream. $32 spent. 9 p.m., spend the rest of our Sunday sitting together on the couch doing our own thing. R has some catch-up work to do. Okay, this is dumb. Here's the point. Like, I was reading this and it was like, you know, okay, so she spends $193 and buying vitamins and other stuff from her parents who live on the other side of the world. She Ubers somewhere. But then later she decides to take the subway instead of Uber because she's like, well, I'm not loaded. And it's like, really? But, you know, then it's like, I scroll through Fashion Pile, my favorite pre-loved designer site, and immediately order a navy blue Celine tote bag that's on sale for $650 plus tax, $707. I've had my eye on this for a while, and it's an absolute steal at the price, retail price around $1,900. I unloaded $1,600 worth of stuff on Poshmark last month, so $888 that day. I mean, like, it's crazy. It's very crazy to see, you know, swimsuits, $203. Anyway, the breakdown for the week is food and drink, $275, entertainment, $95, home and health, $0, clothes and beauty, $1,000, transport, $55, other, $263. But what was fucked up about this one is, like, I'm not going to read the whole thing. If you just look at a week in New York City on $25,000 a month, it's like, seems fake to me because it seems like it was written, by like someone like me, like an old man who's pissed off about like millennials or something and is trying to show that they're dumb and be like, here's what a millennial would probably do with their money, buy some old fucking purse online. By the way, let's just talk about this for a second. If something is ridiculously overpriced, finding it at a price that is lower than the super overpriced amount is not a bargain, guys. By the way, that's just a quick by the way, a quick BTW. It doesn't work that way. But anyway, it was just like, it's just a weird read, and I don't understand the purpose of it. I guess they want to show all different people, but I'm like most, I would be really interested to be like, who's the person who's living in a fairly expensive place on, you know, $30,000 a year? Like, I want to know what that looks like. But also, it's like, I think it's disingenuous to say, like, here's how much I spent, because also you need to take other things into account. Like, when you live with a roommate, you end up doing stuff like, this is one of the reasons I hate it when people are like, oh, look at you sitting and writing in a coffee shop or something. And I'm like, well, maybe that motherfucker has a roommate who they don't want to sit around all day. So they go to a coffee shop just to get some away time from their roommate. Or maybe they're nice and they're letting their roommate have run of the place for a little while. That's a nice thing to do, not a show-offy thing to do. Or, you know, maybe you live in a loud apartment, whatever. Point being, it's not just the money spent. It's got to be a little bit more to it. But this did also make me want to go off on this huge rant because I think I'm saving it for the premium show this month, which is a rant about girls' pockets in pants. Why are they so small? So anyway, I guess look forward to that if you pay for that. Can you tell I'm real like I'm really good at selling stuff, huh? There was another great thing you may have seen at this point. I might be too late on this one, but let's see. There was a great PETA put out, I think it was in a tweet probably, but they're like wanting people to stop using speciesism in their vocabulary. And there's like, they have a bunch of basically terms. Here's the tweet they put out. PETA, bringing home the bagel since 1980 is their term, right, or their name on Twitter. Words matter, and as our understanding of social justice evolves, our language evolves along with it. Here's how to remove speciesism from your daily conversations. Now, first of all, well, okay, let's just look at these. Let's just do them first, and then let's talk about why they're stupid. Because they are stupid. All right? They're really stupid. The concept is stupid as a whole. And PETA is stupid also. Okay, so instead of kill two birds with one stone, say feed two birds with one scone. Now, first of all, I think here's the idea, and something that's interesting to me about this, right? I think most of us can look at this whole list. I mean, we'll go some further, but like most of us look at this as like, this is dumb. It doesn't really matter. But it does kind of, to me, expose the fact that like maybe some of the language policing that we do, maybe we should take another look at it, right? Because if we're all like, PETA, this is a little out of control. But kill two birds with one stone, I think, is a great example, because it's like, how many people do you know who are like, supposedly, they hear the phrase kill two birds with one stone, and we've all heard that many times. How many of us have then actually turned that into action? I'm going to try. How many of us have tried to kill a bird with a rock? I don't know if I've tried that. I'm trying to think, like, if as a kid I did. Now, I'm sure that I tried to shoot a bird with a BB gun when I was a kid. We used to go out to the gravel pit with BB guns and try and shoot a bird. But I had the crappy BB gun. There were two kinds. My friend owned both, so I didn't, you know, get the choice. His was a pump action one, so you could pump it up more and more, and it would be more effective. And you could also shoot pellets, which are not like, they're more like bullet shaped, less round. So you could get, you know, more penetration, to use a real weird term for that. But then, you know, the one I had was the kind where you just basically cocked it and it fired, and it was the same strength all the time. I would say about 50% of the time the BB went straight, and 50% of the time it went completely cockeyed. It would also, you know, if you tried to shoot and you had the BB gun at less than a sort of like perpendicular or parallel angle to the ground, it would roll out. But anyway, I'm sure that I tried to shoot at many a bird, and I'm 100% sure I never killed one. And if I hit one, it probably didn't die because the gun was so weak. I mean, you could shoot your friend from across the yard with this BB gun and it would not, it would sting, but you'd probably be fine. Anyway, I remember we went there one time, and one of the few times there was actually something that happened. My friend shot a bird out of a tree and it fell and then started flying and flew away. And I was like, this is pointless. We would shoot at the train when it drove by. We would just shoot at things. We would set a fucking stick up and shoot at the stick. I mean, this is what we did. This is childhood in Greeley, Colorado. But anyway, who was inspired? I mean, my point with all that is like, I couldn't even kill one bird with one BB gun, let alone two birds with one stone. I could not kill one bird. The only way I could kill a bird with a stone is if I had, like, you know, one of those giant helicopters or airplanes that dumps a bunch of water on a forest fire, and I had a fucking huge boulder and I managed to drop it on a forest. Then I could probably get a bird with a stone. If we're willing to call that the same thing, I suppose I could succeed. So, like, this whole thing is, I think, predicated on this idea of, like, we're normalizing the behavior of killing birds with stones, which I don't love that term of, like, we're normalizing this or whatever. But I think it's a little ridiculous in this case. I think it's like, well, and you know what? God damn it. I know this isn't what PETA would want to hear, but I'm like, if there's some kid out there, and I keep saying kid because I'm like, does it even occur to an adult to throw a stone at a bird? Like, why would I bother with that? If someone did that, not only is that something I would be against doing myself, but it's like I have no interest in it. At no point do you have to stop me from doing that. And at no point am I like, you know, two birds with one stone. That's something that we should think about. I suppose it's like this subconscious, aggressive, anti-animal language. But on the other hand, I think that's a little bit like saying, you know, hey, if I call my cat dum-dum because it's being a dum-dum, whatever. Like, who cares? Next one. Instead of saying be the guinea pig, say be the test tube. Now, I would say this is a little bit against PETA's own thing, because it's like, well, PETA, I think what you're doing there is you're taking guinea pigs out of the spotlight. You know, we're taking animal testing away. We're pretending it doesn't exist and saying, no, be the test tube instead. I mean, also, there's a difference between being the guinea pig and the test tube, right? Like, I don't need to be, I'm not that much of science, but I think I know enough to know the test tube is a vessel in which something happens. And like the guinea pig is also, I guess, sort of the vessel in which something happens. But the point is that like the testing is happening to the guinea pig, maybe against its will or, you know, without its consent. And the guinea pig is going to have to deal with the results, right? So that's dumb. Also, again, it's like if testing is happening on guinea pigs, I think there's a reason for it beyond like, eh, we just kind of talk about it all the time, right? Or like, I'm a lab rat. And it's like, yeah, you know what? They use rats and mice for tests all the fucking time. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. My sister, you know, studying neuroscience, they have to breed mice and do all this stuff to them. And, you know, they have to, like, kill the mice and dissect them and do shit like that, right? But it's like, I think when people talk about animal testing, they think about animal testing as, like, spraying perfume in a rabbit's face or something like that, which I suppose has happened and is probably still happening. However, I don't know. I don't know if I'm against the idea of like, look, if the work that like people like my sister are doing cures Alzheimer's, I think we'll all be like, you know, it was worth it. Sorry. I mean, would I stab a mouse to cure, you know, a loved one's Alzheimer's? Probably. Beat a dead horse, instead say, feed a fed horse. Now that one, I'm like, not as against, because beat a dead horse is kind of a weird one. But like, feed a fed horse is kind of stupid. Here, and this is like, illustrative of the overall problem with this is like, if I'm in a meeting and I've said like, well, why feed a fed horse? Let's just do this. Everyone is going to get caught up in the fact that I'm saying feed a fed horse instead of beat a dead horse. But also, PETA, I think that this is language that doesn't account for different belief systems. You know, what if my belief system tells me that like, hey, that horse's body is just a vessel. And once the horse is dead, it no longer occupies that vessel. That vessel is meaningless. It is just atoms put together. That the soul of that horse was borrowing from the universe for a time, and it has now surrendered those back to the universe, right? So really, beating a dead horse is, in that worldview, really not anti-animal. I mean, if you went out and hit a dead horse with a stick, it's like, well, it's not really causing anyone any harm, is it? I don't know. I mean, if I had to choose, if I was like, I had a kid and we had a farm and I went out there one day and he's whacking a living horse with a pool cue. I don't know why it's a pool cue. I don't know why it's like we have a pool table out in the barn and he was playing and the horse fucked up his shot. And so he's like, you son of a bitch. I guess my son is also like a biker. He's like an 8-year-old with a denim vest with his, gang patch on the back. It's got the rocker panels and everything. But, you know, if he was hitting a live horse with a pool cue versus like a horse died and I go out there and he's hitting the dead body with a pool cue, I mean, I'd be sort of disturbed by him beating the dead horse with a pool cue. But if I'd never seen him do anything to a live animal, it'd be a different thing. I'd be like, something's going on with this guy. You know, we need to talk about what's happening at school or something. Instead of bring home the bacon, say bring home the bagels. I mean, yeah, you could just say bring home the whatever, right? But I think bring home the bacon, I don't know. I mean, there's lots of bacon products that are not using actual animal product, right? There's lots of fake bacon. Fake bacon is like one of the first things I ever had that was, you know, not, what am I looking for? That was like vegetarian, like imitation of a food. And this was terrible. Now, this was probably in the mid to late 90s. probably like mid-90s. My mom had a very hippie-ish friend. And so she, you know, got these things. They had money too. And so that the combination is important, because when you're living in, you know, small town Colorado at that time, it's like, I don't know if you could even get that at the grocery store then, maybe. But anyway, she got this fake bacon and I tried it and it tasted exactly like bacon strips that you give a dog, which I knew what those tasted like because I'd eaten that. So it's kind of like, I mean, who am I to say what tastes good and what doesn't when I'm like, well, I was able to make the comparison to dog treats because I've eaten those. So maybe I'm not the best person. I mean, that one to me is the one where the switch makes the most sense, because you're really only replacing one word. And so it's like, okay. And also, you know, I'm the one who brings home the pizza. I think it's got to be a B word, though, doesn't it? I'm the one who brings home the bagels. I'm the one who brings home the baguettes. Take the bull by the horns should be take the flower by the thorns. I mean, that one's dumb. Because I think take the bull by the horns implies, like, you're kind of taking this aggressive out-of-control situation and you're just taking it head-on. Whereas, like, take the flower by the thorn seems like you're just, like, molesting a flower for some reason. I've never been attacked by a giant flower. With the exception of Little Shop of Horrors, I'm not really aware of that situation happening a whole lot. Or maybe a swamp thing. Take the swamp thing by the thorns. I mean, that's what we need to do, right? Is turn these all into comic book things. Kill two birds with one stone should be kill half the population with one infinity stone. That would be good. You know what doesn't make sense about that movie? I mean, a lot of things don't make sense, but like, and everyone talks, you know, the obvious answer is like, hey, instead of killing half the universe because, you know, you feel like the universe is overpopulated and undersupplied, why not just double the amount of shit? You could just create another universe and whatever. But the other thing is, like, if you're just going to kill half the people, do you really need all the infinity stones? Like, couldn't you just use a couple of them and go around and just kill everybody, basically? Or you could use the time one and just go way back in time and kill like five people who made most of the other people, and then be like, all right, that takes care of that. Lots of flaws in that logic. It's like, unless you think about it, I don't know. But there you go. That's PETA's thing. So here's what I don't get about PETA, right? PETA is like the ultimate organization of crazies, where you're like, you know, okay, on the surface, if someone was like, there's this organization that's interested in the ethical treatment of animals, I'd be like, okay. I mean, that seems like, you know, I'd be being disingenuous if I was like, that's a something that I really am working towards myself, but I would also probably feel like, you know, in general, I agree with this concept, right? And think like, I don't know, maybe they're like big Temple Grandin people or something like that. But then when you find out, like, PETA seems to always be on these crazy campaigns, and like, really, they really like to take the bull by the horns, you know, when they like do an anti-Thanksgiving commercial where they're like, stop eating turkey. And I'm like, I mean, I know that this is your goal, but maybe trying to get people to stop eating meat would be more effective when it's not Thanksgiving. But this is the thing, is like, PETA is not taking the like reasonable middle ground. PETA is like the crazy side of it, right? It's like the too far almost. And I can't decide. Here's what I can't decide. Because I'm guessing that if I looked at, like, historical PETA shit at the time, everyone would be like, ugh, that's too far. And now would be like, eh, that's kind of normal. So I can't decide if PETA's, like, just trying to stay on the vanguard. Okay, I can't decide if they're trying to stay on the vanguard. They're like, how far can we push it? Because I got to say, like, it's got to be interesting times for PETA when things like, you know, vegan lifestyle or vegan choices and that kind of thing are a lot more common than they were even 10 years ago, 5 years ago. You know, this is like not a crazy thing. You don't have to explain to someone what vegan means the way you would have to in 1995. So, you know, if they're into that, it's like, eh, okay. And like, people are aware of things like factory farming and, you know, so on and so forth. So I wonder if part of the problem is that they're like, well, you know, what was once our extreme stance is a lot more mainstream now. I mean, people aren't doing it, but they're aware of it. Some people are doing it, and it's like normal people are doing it. It's, you don't have to be super environmentalist to do that stuff, right? So I can't decide if it's like, okay, we need to stay on the vanguard. Let's just keep pushing it. I can't decide if maybe what they're doing is saying ridiculous things because then what they really want to happen starts to feel more normal. This is the most diabolical version of it that I'm most behind because that makes sense. That speaks to me where it's like, you know, it's kind of like when you're asking for a salary negotiation at work and they're like, well, what you got to do is ask for, you know, 20% more than you want because you probably won't get it. But what you probably will get is what you actually want somewhere in that range. And then you'll be like, well, I mean, that's a 20% less than what I asked for, but I'll go for it. I'll do it. And then you also leave knowing like, anyway, point being, maybe PETA's doing that. Maybe they're pushing the envelope that way so that what you do is if you push the edges, it also moves the middle, right? But then I also sometimes think maybe PETA is just being outrageous for the sake of like staying in the news, right? Like people, you know, here we are on a podcast talking about PETA, which I would probably not normally talk about because, you know, PETA does something and I'm like, yeah, no shit. No shit. They did something that's kind of out there and weird. And I think most people don't really agree with that, but whatever. But it sometimes the cynical side of me is like, maybe they're just trying to stay in the news, trying to be like, look at us, man. We are cool. We are some cool motherfuckers. So I don't know. I don't know what PETA's doing. Should we look at like Twitter and just be like, what's PETA up to today? I mean, just to kind of get a sense. Because here's the other thing. I wonder, because I only see fucking 1% of what PETA does, right? Because I only see something PETA's doing when it becomes a huge thing. So maybe the 1% I see is just the crazy shit. Twitter's horrible. If you really want to feel bad about yourself, well, how do I see the official PETA people? Oh, here we go. PETA bringing home the bagels since 1980. Okay, like here's a video of a monkey that had its eyes sewn shut for experiments and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, I mean, that's fucked up, right? Are you seriously still drinking cow's milk? It's time to reconsider. Dairy products cause acne. Who wants that? Milk is for babies. Are you a baby cow? Didn't think so. Here's what I would like to see. I think this would be an interesting PETA campaign. I think it would be if part of me wants to be involved with PETA and be like, look, I'm not real into this stuff, but like, I have some ideas for you if you wanted. Here's 50 ideas and tell me what you think. So like, all right, here's an idea. You start selling breast milk in the store, right? Just like start selling breast milk. And people will freak out, but then you're like, well, really, that's what it is. I mean, what the fuck? Okay, here's a dog that was bred with muscular dystrophy as, you know, an experiment. I guess they breed these for like 35 years. They've done this. And then, you know, in order to study muscular dystrophy and try and cure it. I don't know why it's got to be dogs, but I'm not really that scientific. But this is, again, where I'm like, Well, I have mixed feelings about using animals for experiments to cure human disease. I guess I feel like it's a little bit different to cure a disease or attempt to cure a disease. And, you know, they're like, this has been going on for years and they still haven't cured muscular dystrophy. 35 years and they still haven't made a cure. So you probably better stop, right? And it's like, I don't know if I agree with that. I gotta say, I think that I'm like against it. You know, when you're looking at a dog with muscular dystrophy and then they're like, they put this dog down once they are done with it, you're like, that's fucked up. But on the other hand, I suppose if I had muscular dystrophy or someone I loved had muscular dystrophy, one person that I gave a fuck about had muscular dystrophy, I'd be like, eh, I'm in favor of them figuring out how to do this. And if experimenting on animals, though fucked up as that is, gets us there, then I'm in favor of it. Like, I'm into it. Sorry. You know, don't have a monkey in a circus or a Christmas show or something. Yeah, I'm there for that. Here's like, don't give a puppy to someone for Christmas. I don't know. Oh, this is a PETA ad where it's like, hey, look, we got this dog, and then a year later, it's just stuffed in a crate during Christmas, you know, and we're like, oh, we don't like this dog anymore because it's not a puppy. And it's like, it's so sad that people actually do this. And it's like, yeah, I mean, there are horrible fucking dog owners. But I don't know. What are you going to do? Now, here's one that I can get behind. Here's like warm vegan holiday drinks that are perfect for winter. And this looks like some kind of bourbon-y drink, some kind of a hot toddy. And I'm like, yeah, fucking A. Adopt, don't buy. Great. Anyway, I don't know. The thing is, you know, here's opinion. It's easier to laugh at PETA than it is to admit your meat, whatever. Deep down, most people know the way animals are treated by factory farms is morally indefensible, but it's easier to look the other way than mock the kooky vegans. Here's my opinion on that shit. Here's my uninformed opinion, right? someone took a picture of like a vegan aisle at a grocery store. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Good idea. I agree with that. So anyway. Or, you know, like, okay, here's Netflix's Mowgli, and it's like CGI instead of wild animals. So it's like, we can have animals in movies, but, you know, not have to, like, abuse actual animals. And I'm like, that's a very reasonable thing, PETA. I'm happy for that. Don't leave your fucking dog outside. So this is part of the problem, right? It's like, hey, don't leave your dog freezing out in the snow. And I'm like, listen, the motherfuckers who are doing this ain't following no PETA on Twitter. I guarantee you that. I guarantee fucking to you that if it's like, if I have a dog and I'm leaving an animal outside, like, come on. You know, like, elephants in circuses, we shouldn't do it. And I'm like, yeah, I agree with that. I'm down with that. That's fair enough. But I don't know. I guess the same thing is whatever. Part of me, you know, okay, Colorado State University is making birds sick in order to study something. And it's like, here's how smart birds are. And, you know, they understand things and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's a tough thing, right? So I don't know. It's weird because, like, looking at this, I'm like, I don't know. PETA's not totally unreasonable most of the time. So maybe it's just the shit that makes the news. But I'm kind of like, I feel like maybe PETA is caught in the badness of the world that we're all caught in, which is like, unless you're super outraged about something, unless you're unreasonable about something, no one gives a fuck. When you have like a reasonable middle ground opinion on shit, it's like, eh, who cares? I mean, does anyone give a shit? I sure don't. Let's see. Okay, I did have one other thing I wanted to cover, but I think we're going to do it on the next episode. But, you know, as a preview of the next episode, next time on Helpful Snowman, we're going to talk about a duel that occurred in hot air balloons by some Frenchy Frenchmen. Did they survive? Who won? Did someone fall in a fire and get French fried? Do you like that? I didn't. I'm not proud of that one. Not my best work. But I did do the work, so that's something. And I'm not cutting it out because that's just not how this show works. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs in? Are they in harmony? No, wait. I'm not done. I did have one last thing to say about PETA. I don't think I got there. But the point I wanted to make was the one other thing I wonder about PETA is, like, I wonder if there's an internal struggle at PETA of people who are like, let's bring more people into the fold, and people who are like, fuck them. Like, if they don't want to be with, if they're with us or against us, not sort of with us. Because I think if, you know, if someone's like, it's sort of like when someone says, how about you try and eat vegetarian like once a week? And you're like, yeah, you know what? I probably could do that. It's really not that big of a sacrifice. And, you know, and then it gets you used to it. Or, you know, you're like, I'm going to try making a vegan dish. Like, one time I did that, you know, I was making some food for not me. And, made, like, it was kind of like an Alfredo thing, but with, what's that shit called? Why am I thinking tallow? I know it's not tallow. Tofu. The opposite thing of tallow. it was like a tofu Alfredo-y kind of thing that was vegan, and it was pretty good. And it was not hard to make. And then you're like, hey, all right, I made a vegan thing, and it tastes pretty good. It's pretty all right. So, you know, I think that part of me wonders, like, I wonder if there's this internal struggle over there of people who are like, I believe in the ethical treatment of animals, but I think we need to make more friends in the mainstream. And then if there's some people who are like, fuck them, you know, like, we're just doing it. I mean, that's probably true, right? Any movement has that kind of issue, I think, where it's like some people are like, well, this is a little much for me. This is a little far. And they're imagining, like, hey, I'd like to get my grandpa to eat, you know, one vegetarian meal a week. And that's going to be pretty tough, but I think I could do it. But then they're like, when you're telling grandpa that he can't say to kill two birds with one stone, he's like, go fuck yourself. Like, that's not going to happen. Okay. Skin a cat. There's more than one way to skin a cat. Like, that's a fucked up saying. I think we maybe even talked about that on this show not that long ago, right? More than one way to skin a cat. But, like, that has never prompted me to get a knife and find a cat. Ever. Like, the idea is kind of horrifying. And you sort of just say it without thinking about it. And then when you think about it, you're like, it's fucked up. But saying that phrase, I don't think is causing... A, it's not causing harm to cats, because I don't think that's happening. And B, cats don't know what you're saying. This is the important thing that I didn't say before, which is, like, when we're talking about social justice for animals, here's the difference. Let's say I decided to use an unkind word for whites, because that's the one I'm comfortable saying right now. Let's say I was just throwing around the cracker word. Right? The problem with me using that in that way, or using it as a pejorative, is, let's just even say I'm using white as a pejorative, you know? The problem with me doing that is not just me doing it. It's that, you know, who else is going to hear it? Who else is going to pick up on it? What other crackers are going to hear me say the word cracker and be like, hey, that's not cool. You know what I mean? Or like, okay, if I'm Polish, which I am, and I start calling, I start saying like Polacks are all like this, right? But the thing is like, I don't want to do that because I don't want to encourage other people to, you know, talk that way. But the other thing is, hey man, other Polish people might not feel like the term Polak is really not offensive the way I do. I mean, it doesn't offend me, but I'm not like a real Polish guy, you know what I mean? I'm not like a super Polish dude. And I don't like identify with that culture or anything. So it's not really up to me to decide is the point, right? It's not really up to me to decide because all these other people might hear it. But when you're saying kill two birds with one stone, there's no fucking birds are going to hear that. Like no birds are going to be like, wow, you're really moving away from my humanity. Also, they're not human. So you can't really move away from something's human. I mean, it's a fucking bird. But they don't know what you're saying. Like, you can talk to your cat all day and say, like, you are a dumb idiot piece of shit. They have no idea. It is all tone. They don't even know their names. They know the tone. I love cats. Don't get me wrong. I think they're fun. I think they're smart. I think they're nice. I think they make great companions. But, like, I don't really see the harm in, you know, the cat that you're taking care of, if its name is Fuckface McShit, like, who cares? It doesn't hurt that cat at all. But I think this is the other thing that sometimes I think is maybe the big mistake that PETA makes, which is, like, assuming that animals want what people want. Oh, wait. I also want to say, like, if I was someone who is in the business of problematizing things, I would be like, PETA, you're kind of fucking with the struggle that humans have to be recognized and not use this kind of language. And when you use the word social justice for animals, it hurts the cause of social justice for human beings because you're trying to put that on the same level and it's just not. Social justice for wild birds by not using these terms is not really the same as not calling my people crackers. There's some kind of a Pollywanna cracker joke in there, but I can't quite connect the dots. But here's the other thing. I think PETA, like, sometimes in their more outrageous things, it seems to assume that animals want the same things that people want. And I think that's not true. And I don't know. This is a thing I think that animal rights folks sometimes get involved in. And, like, I'm not saying cows want to be killed and turned into beef. Like, I'm not stupid, okay? But I think, like, dogs are a good example. I think dogs don't necessarily want the lifestyle that people have. Or cats. I don't think they necessarily want what people have. I think dogs do want some structure in their lives. I think the dogs do want a boss. You know what I mean? Or to know who the boss is in the home. Like, I don't think they want to have a thoughtful meeting where the family sits down and they take part in a democratic process. I don't think dogs necessarily want to be part of a democratic process. I know that's crazy, but I think that might be the case. So yeah, I don't know. I think there are a lot of mistakes, but hey, if PETA is listening and you want some, you just want like a bunch of ideas out there, right? You call me. You call me and we'll come up with some stuff. You know what I mean? We'll come up with breast milk in the grocery store. That's probably already been done. I'm not going to Google it because like, here's something I've found. Anytime you Google something, it's like, oh, someone did that already. Someone did that already. But it's like, I mean, you should just do it because you don't know where your version of it's going to end up anyway. So fuck it. Just go for it. But, you know, what else? Instead of teddy bears, we're going to do Teddy Roosevelts. And we're going to make cute little stuffed presidents for people. Because it's like, hey, man, animals aren't there just for you to be comforted by. We need to respect bears as wild animals. Instead of Spider-Man, we're going to call him Man with spider-like abilities. Aquaman. Aquaman, oh, by the way. Turns out the Aquaman movie is coming out in like 2 weeks. I thought the Aquaman movie had come and gone like a year ago and had bombed. That's how into Aquaman I am. I've made a discovery recently because, you know, I felt sort of bad because I stopped seeing comic book movies and I like right around when Black Panther came out, right? So I felt some comic book movie guilt because it was like, Peter, are you not seeing Black Panther because it's Black Panther? But I was like, I mean, not really. To be fair, Black Panther is not a character that I've really like followed a lot in the comics. But, it, you know, I was like, wait a minute. I also didn't see Justice League. I didn't see Deadpool 2 until just recently. Woof, by the way. Big woof. I didn't see... There were a few others that I didn't see. I didn't see Venom. And Venom was almost like right up my alley because it's like it sounded like it was kind of stupid and didn't really work in the world. You know, I haven't seen... I didn't see the Andrew Garfield Spider-Mans. I didn't see any of the X-Men like First Class or Days of Future Past or Apocalypse. I didn't see the new Fantastic Four. There's a bunch of them I haven't seen. And like more recently, I probably wouldn't have gone to see Thor Ragnarok except for, you know, me and Poon Master Flex. That's one we could agree on. I was glad I saw it, but you know, whatever. Point being, I'm not really seeing them. And something I've discovered about myself is I'm one of the folks in the world who doesn't really like the comic book movies as much as he likes comic books. I think there's a mistake being made, which is that, like, if you like comic books, you must love these movies. Because it's like, oh, finally, you get to see your thing on the big screen. But I don't think... There are often times where I'm like, hey, I don't really think that Spider-Man Homecoming, which I enjoyed, is better than the Spider-Man comics of the last 5 years. You know what I mean? I'm trying to make an equivalent of what would take like 2 hours to read. But it's like, I could pick probably any two trade paperbacks from Dan Slott's run and read those, and I would enjoy them a lot more than the movies. And the thing I'm discovering is I think I like comic books and I don't really like movies that much. And so, like, comic book movies are not, like, an elevation of the form to me. It's kind of a demotion of the form. It's like, well, you get to see it on the screen, which is kind of fun. But on the other hand, who cares? You know, and sometimes, like, the things on the screen, you're like, I mean, it doesn't really live up to... It's the classic book-to-movie conundrum, except it has an added thing to it of, like... Most of the time you see a book and it gets turned into a movie. Most books, I would say, are not reliant on the format of book for their storytelling, right? They're not maximizing, they're not doing things with the format of book and reading that are impossible to replicate in film. But in comic books, though, the comic books that are really good do things that would be difficult to do in a movie. Whether that be because they're too long, or because they're kind of serialized nature, or because of the incredible amount of backstory that they can draw from and rely on and tell stories related to. So many things, right, that can happen in comic books that don't happen in the movies. You know, and you can do things with the format that just don't really work in the movies. There's this great example in Watchmen by Alan Moore where... let's see, Rorschach is in a motel. He's like beating up some guy because that's what he does. And the cops are coming for him. And so the way the panels are laid out on the page, the color drastically changes every other or maybe every third panel. And the reason is there's this huge neon sign across the way that is winking on and off. And so it's throwing this different light into the room or into the building, right? And so what's happening is we're seeing this scene where Rorschach is in the room with this guy and these cops are like going up the stairs and stuff and the light is changing. And so what that does is it gives us the pacing because you're like, okay, This is about how quickly the light is winking on and off. So this is what happens between this time and this time that the light winks, right? So the light is on, something else happens, something else happens, the light is on. So it's like a really smart way to show on a page of static images, motion and time passing, right? And you can do things with time in a comic book that are difficult to do in a movie. Like, you can mess with time a lot more. The time between two panels, you know, let's say you have panel one, two, and three. The time between panel one and panel two can be way shorter than the time between panel two and panel three. You can augment the time almost instantly, and it's not jarring the way it would be if you were like, okay, between cut one and cut two and cut three, you know, one is slow-mo, one is regular, the next one is like two-thirds, right? That wouldn't really work. Anyway, in case you can't tell by that long explanation, I really like comics and like the things people can do with comics. And the movies don't really scratch the same itch for me. And it, for me, it's not about the characters either. It's about most of the comics I like because of the people who write them. You know what I mean? I like the writers who work on them and the stories they tell and stuff like that. As opposed to being like, well, what, as long as it's got Superman in it, I'm in, right? So the movie is like, whatever. Anyway, point being, I think I've discovered that I'm just really not that into the comic book movies these days. I mean, everyone's got like this huge boner for fucking Civil War or whatever the hell that is. The Avengers End of Days or something. And I'm like, I mean, I'll see it, but, you know, it's not a big thing. Captain Marvel, I'm like, I plan to catch that on the Netflix, maybe. Like, we'll see how it is. I just don't really care anymore. You know, I'm not really that interested in... I read those Captain Marvel comics, like, let's see. Should we look how many years? No, I'm not going to bother. It's been 5 years plus of reading those comics and then, you know, seeing the ongoing story since then. So it's like old news for me. I mean, it's like, for me, it's like, imagine seeing a preview for a movie that you already saw 5 years ago because you time travel. And for some reason, you can only time travel and go see movies. Is the trailer and the announcement of the thing very exciting? Not really. And so I've like seen it, I've read it. It's just like, and the translation of these things from comic book to film doesn't excite me. Like, it's not the seeing of the motion on screen and stuff like that, or the visuals, because I think the visuals in the comics are usually better. Like, they have super talented artists working on this these days. And the visuals are all kind of samey to me in the movies. Whereas the comics, it's interesting. You know, you might read a comic illustrated by John Romita Jr. and then one done by like Mike Allred or something like that. Erica, what's her face? Henderson. You know, you might see these different people illustrate them and they do it really differently and it gives a different flavor. But the movies, all since they have to all fit in this same visual universe, kind of start looking samey to me. You know, and the use of CG or not, and the costumes and all that stuff kind of start looking the same. And so it's just not that exciting. I don't even know why I fucking had to talk about that in relation to, like, PETA. But there you go. That was I don't know. I'm like, is everyone going to skip this? Because I was like, okay, well, that's the end of the show. And then I talk for 20 more minutes. You'll have to put a little announcement or something that's like, oh, don't turn it off. But you know what? I probably won't. This will just be for the true idiots who listen all the way through no matter what happened. You know, who are just like, I'm going to finish this whole thing. All right, this time, goodbye for real.